It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's a Black and Red Friday night here at KeyBank Center with a large hint of lavender. It is Hockey Fights Cancer Night, and we can't wait to present it to you once again with our friends at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. And a big thanks to all our staff who made the arena look so perfectly inviting for people to come in and share their stories and support those in the fight tonight.
Yeah, it is one of the most emotional night of the year, I would say, and kind of focusing not only on the hockey game but on Western New York and everybody, especially that have been here and our visit at Roswell Park just this last week. And so it's a very important day for the organization and for the community. But I'll tell you this, I was walking around the arena last night, yesterday, and you talk about the staff members that were helping and enjoying. The music was blasting in the arena.
Good.
They were putting the scarves and the placards out there. They were really happy to be able to help and do something for what is going to be the, you know, many that are going to be in the building tonight and experiencing something special.
It's very much the same, if you will, but completely different. Allow me to explain. The fact is, when you're in the fight, you can't imagine how many people, how many simple day-to-day interactions will help you get through. So it's more than just one. It can be thousands. It can be endless of thousands of immeasurable interactions that can help keep you in a good place. So yesterday, here at the arena, sure, you could have had a department of the Sabres doing it, but it was many departments, and many and many and many, and on and on and on it goes. And honestly, it's just, it's, I hope that people felt that sense of accomplishment when you, you know, when you walked out of the arena yesterday and you know that you were a part of that. And honestly, like, we always have this as a reference point, and forever will, and that is COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think going through that time and having special nights altered and or taken away from what their true intent and meaning was originally, you know, it's pretty great to be able to have it on full display and the way it should be.
No, it is obviously always going to be special nights and focusing on special individuals. And I think that's the key here is that you point out yesterday the many departments and looking at, you know, a building that's got 19,000 seats and you got to put 19,000 scarves and placards. And how do you get that done? Well, it's not one person that's going to get it done. It takes a lot of people. And then when you're in the fight or in, if you're having to deal with adversity in any way, shape or form in your life, one person, the task seems unsurmountable. Like, it's like, I can't climb that mountain. But with a group around you and people helping you put one scarf on a seat and one placard, and let's focus on one section.
Yep.
When that section is done, you're like, oh, that looks good. Okay, what's the next section? What's the next level? What's the next step? I think it makes a big difference. So, and it's not done because with the media watching the practice today, they kept a part of the building without any scarves or placards for the media to be able to sit there and not mess it up. Because, you know, they wouldn't mess it up. They would move things around. So it still needs to be finalized, but it's, again, adding that final touch to what will be a special night.
Beauty of team sports is you are all in it together to help the person next to you in the room, the person next to you on the bench, the person out there on the ice, persons, because it is, you know, it's a collective here, and it happens tonight in front of Devin Levi, who we haven't seen an awful lot of late, given the run of games for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So is that where your attention on an individual within the team dynamic is tonight?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, let's just say this way. When I came to the morning skate and I saw that Levi was working out of the starter's net. I hate the starter's net because when we played, like, Dom had his net, I had my net, we never changed. Like, that was the routine. And Millsy had his net, I had my net. We didn't change because we were starting or, you know, you were at the same end. Anyway, sidebar. But I was pleasantly surprised. Why? Because, number one, I feel like you can't just put Levi on the bench and not think of him and his, you know, how he has to work through some situation and his development. So I was pleasantly surprised, number one. Number two, I think that Luukkonen has played well. But you got to think of a full season here. And if you keep running out UPL for 7, 8, 9, 10 games, at some point it's going to catch up to him, especially in the early going of the season. Not that the schedule has been very busy, but I don't like that right now. I like to be able to say, hey, let's pace ourselves. And when we really are like feeling like, okay, we're mid-season and now we want to run one guy 10 games in a row, run one guy 10 games in a row. But right now you got to get everybody involved. But more importantly, I know Levi did not have a good game against Columbus. He's played 3 games this year. He had 3 starts. But when you look at the other 2, they were quality starts. And when I say a quality start as a goaltender, it's not just, you know what, 27 saves on 30 shots, giving up 3 goals. That's good. That's 900 save percentage. That's better than average. No, a quality start is above that. It's, you know, where you've made an impact in the game. And Levi, out of the 3 starts, 2 were quality starts. 1 was not good. Okay, put that in the garbage. Now give him a chance to come back and play well in what will be, I think, a charged-up building.
Yes, and when you look at the schedule, obviously, it's not just tonight this weekend for the Sabres. It is back-to-back, as Detroit will be the opponent that is hosting Buffalo tomorrow. Lindy Ruff not thrilled with how they've gone in back-to-back so far, says they haven't been good with a record of 0-3-1 in the 2 pairs of back-to-backs. Connor Clifton joins us here as we get set for the Sabres and Islanders tonight. How's life? How was the Halloween rush with all your mates?
It was good. It was good. We had a good party on Tuesday. Dressed up. My wife and I went as Flintstones, so we were Fred, Wilma, dressed the baby up as Pebbles.
As Bam Bam or Pebbles?
So,
okay,
Pebbles, yeah.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Cute. We had a fun night. So.
See, that's like when I was a kid, the Flintstones in French, the names were completely different. Fred was Fred, but Wilma was not Wilma. It was Delima. I don't know why. So when I came over here and people were like, let's dress as Wilma and Fred. And I was like, who's Wilma? Like, I had no idea.
How many other babies were at the party?
No babies at the party.
Okay.
We all got
no?
our sitters. But I guess going by on the Flintstones and how, you know, it's an older show and how young our team is, I walk in. I don't want to say any names. Someone came up to me and said, I know who you are. Tarzan. My wife just shook her head like, oh my God, we're so old.
But the fact is you're not old.
Yeah.
You're a young man too. You guys are young and the team is experienced, but still young in age. What were some of the maybe more young version of costumes that were out there? Because some of the pictures I look at, I'm like, I don't even know what these people are trying to be.
JJ came in, he was like, before the party, he was like, oh, I don't think people know who I am. He was like, Crazy Frog? It's like in a music video.
Okay.
I didn't know. I just said, oh, when I see you, I'll pretend, oh, Crazy Frog, and pretend I know who you were. So I did that to him. But a couple guys did know. A couple others, I'm on the spot here. We had...
Who was in the big... like Pillsbury dough, like
so that was Tucky and Kylie, and they didn't wear that to the party though. They wore that I guess, when they were trick-or-treating.
So that was an Instagram Halloween costume.
They went as the Hulk. Yeah, he went as the Hulk.
The Hulk. Okay, that's pretty good.
The Tarzan thing is actually kind of an honest, youthful mistake.
Yeah, like,
it's actually really amazing. So,
it is. It was
all right,
funny.
So on the ice, I mean, you know, you've had some extended breaks here on this homestand. How does that kind of correlate with rest and readiness and where you're at?
Good for rest. And also a lot of practices, right? But, you know, we're excited to get in some more game action coming up here.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, I'm sure that game action is good. Now, when you are, you know, playing with the same partner for an extended period of time, with Matthias Samuelsson, how comfortable are you now to know, like, okay, we know what we're doing. Like, I can read him, he can read me. Like, is this at the level now where you know that you guys are clicking and it's 10 games in?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you get the reps together, practice games. Obviously, you build that chemistry. We didn't play much together last year at all. So first time was kind of a couple days before, really, when we got over to Prague, because Dolls went down. We had a couple mix-ups there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've been building it. We've been getting better each game, I feel. And we're playing that third pair role where we're hard to play against. We're playing simple, and it has been effective. We're killing plays. We're mm-hmm. we're reading each other pretty well, breaking pucks out good, and then we're getting it out of our zone, and that's what we want to do.
I sense that there's, like you say, we play in a third pair role, and a lot of players wouldn't say that, but there's a little bit of pride in it. Like, I remember when I was a backup, I'd be like, my role is to support the starter, play my games, do what I do. Like, I didn't try to pretend like, oh, when I start, I'm the starter. No, I knew my role, but I was proud to doing my role. You've kind of carved out that role now. Are you
yeah.
Is it with a sense of pride of
yeah,
doing
for sure.
that good?
I think it's when you know you're playing, you know, 15 to 16 minutes somewhere in there. If there's an injury, you play a little more, but you're not getting that 22 minutes, right?
Yep.
So each shift is a little bit more important. You have a little more energy to give than, you know, Dolls and OP, who are playing 24 yep. a night. Right, so you could play more physical for sure, because obviously the physical part of the game takes a lot of energy out of you, and in a role with limited, you know, 5-on-5 minutes, we've been playing a lot of PK, Sammy and I, but it's that much more important for us to do that role and to do that for the team.
Speaking of being a good teammate, supporting, things like that, inevitably at the start of every season, and you can go through every single team, because it becomes a media fixation, but it's also a personal challenge. You see players that are still looking for that first goal, right? Mm-hmm. And so every night somebody comes off the board, they get their first and everything. What is it like when you're, you know, because this week now we've seen a little tweak of the lines. Like, how do you support the guys that are still fighting a little bit offensively?
You don't make it to the NHL by not being highly competitive. You just let them, you let it go, right? You don't put too much pressure on anyone. You just let them play their game. Everyone's going to figure it out, and they're going to get their goals and their points. And I think more importantly than the goals is doing the small things where you are helping the team winning hockey, playing to our identity. And I feel like all these losses we had were 4-5-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of our losses were totally self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
Us giving really good players on the other team grade A chances, rush against chances, and that's, I mean, I feel like it's really promising for us because we've given a lot of games.
Yep.
And, you know, it sucks. It's frustrating for sure. But at the end of the day, it's about how we are playing. And some games we've been totally dominant, and then we take our foot off the gas and they score 2 goals in 5 minutes, like that Dallas game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was 6-on-5. So now you're
six
like,
on
okay.
Five, exactly.
And they come back 6-on-5.
Exactly.
You're like, ah, okay.
We're gripping our sticks too tight.
Yeah.
We're learning how to finish games. And, you know, when we get ahead, we don't want to change anything, right? Mm-hmm. We want to just keep playing fast. We don't want to sit back. We want to go play. We want to keep forcing those turns. I know we force... The way we've been forechecking and tracking our forwards, they've been creating a lot of turnovers and giving, you know, other D pairs a huge task.
Yeah. No, it's great. Like, the physicality. You mentioned your physicality and Sammy's physicality, trying to play hard and be tough to play against. But to Duffer's point, like, if I knew somebody was squeezing it a little bit and hadn't scored in a little while in practice, sometimes I would, like, go out of my way to challenge them, and I'd be like, shoot harder, come on, let's go, like, that was an easy save, like, come on, make me work, right? Like, if you go one-on-one, and I'm just going to single out Dylan Cousins, because, I mean, he's now moved to the wing and he's got zero in the goal column. But if he's coming one-on-one, are you like, let's go. Like, are you giving him a little shot?
I mean, I'm doing that anyway, to be honest.
Okay, that's good.
I try to challenge myself, and especially in one-on-one drills, right? We have so much skill in that room, so much speed. So sometimes we get put in these one-on-one drills where, you know, the forwards have the advantage. And so I got to kind of work my way and try to even the playing field, right? And sometimes the D have it easier, right? Whether we're gapped out or have great gap. And I think I'm playing the same way no matter what, to be honest. But we're all going to figure it out. Everyone in there is going to be going 100%, whether it's game 11, hopefully, or game 25, right? Yeah. I don't want to put too much pressure on anyone. Last year, I couldn't figure it out for the first 25 games of the year.
Yeah, you know, you came on the show. You talked about that. You were very honest about it, too, which was great. So
I'm 30-plus years trying to figure it out, so whatever.
Yeah, everyone has those mental battles where they're whatever it is, overthinking it, just gripping the stick too tight, and we're all going to figure it out, right? So, we're all going to get on the same page, and we're going to be a really good hockey team this year.
The Islanders are kind of exactly what we've seen for years here, and people can talk all day long about their challenges to score, but the fact of the matter is they've made the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years, and they are very aware of their defensive abilities. So what kind of challenge are they in today's NHL?
I mean, yeah, we just did video on them. Obviously, their record is they 4-5-1 too, because I feel like everyone in the East is
3-5-2.
Yeah. Oh,
so they're just 1 point back.
Yeah,
right. We're all that whole East right there. It hasn't shaped out yet. Everyone's pretty even, so that's why it makes these games so important when we're playing in interdivision games. On the Islanders, they're going to play their hard defensive style, and they're not going to give us anything for free. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to play good. We're going to have to track, not give their top guys, you know, odd man rushes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think that was the game in Florida. We just gave up too many odd man rushes, and we scored on some chances.
Well, I mean, the Islanders gave up 11 shots to Detroit, lost a 1-0 game, then lost 1-0 to St. Louis in overtime. Yeah. You know, they've limited a lot of the shot attempts against other teams. Do you look at the shot clock? Are you the guys look at the shot clock? If I have 10 minutes in, it's like at 1 or at 2. Do you think I got to shoot one from center ice so that goes up a little bit?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. It's good to see even shots. You don't like looking up there and seeing you're down 10 shots. But, the Islanders, they're gonna do that exactly that tonight. We know what to expect. They're going to play that defensive hard game where we're going to have to work to get to the net.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's their game, and the forechecking, and they're going to come hard, and they always do, and they play that big, strong game where they're cycling pucks and using their bodies to, you know, keep us on the other side of it. So we're going to have our work cut out for us today. We're excited.
Yep.
Good luck tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Once again, it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night here at KeyBank Center, and those of you attending, you will find at your seat a placard to fill out who you are fighting for and the Hockey Fights Cancer scarf, thanks to our friends at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. And, of course, we want you here if, you know, there's still a chance that you could win some last-minute tickets for this incredible night. You can print or download the placard and write the name of the person you're fighting for, and you could win. Just go to sabres.com/HFC. We continue. Thanks to Connor for joining us, and they're up against an Islander team tonight that doesn't have Matt Barzal. He's gone back home with an upper body injury. This is already a team that cannot go lower in the NHL when it comes to goals for. They are ranked 32nd. Now, their record's not great at 3-5-2. Granted, incredibly small sample size, and as Connor mentioned, in a very large cluster of teams that have a similar record. The thing with the Islanders is, you and I especially on this show, and me even more than you, like I'm obsessed with being a good offensive team, right? The Islanders, under Lou Lamoriello, 22nd, 22nd, 21st, 23rd, 22nd, 22nd, and now 32nd offensively. But here's the thing. They've been fourth best defensively over that time. They are still in the top 10 right now. And as I mentioned, they've made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. So they know how to battle through this kind of adversity, even though it's not pretty, especially when you've only played 10 games and been shut out a league high four times already.
Yeah, and in those games that they've been shut out four times was really technically a 2-0 loss to Dallas, 3-0 an empty net, 1-0 in overtime to St. Louis, 1-0 to Detroit, giving up 11 shots, as I pointed out, and then a 1-0 to Columbus that turned out to be a 2-0 in an empty net.
Yes.
So they've only given up 5 goals in those 4 games where they've been shut out. So, and they've got good goaltending.
And they have good goal scorers. We talked in the offseason, like, what is the future here with Anders Lee, for example, but Brock Nelson, who is the probably most overlooked of the top 20 goal scorers of the last half dozen years. Like, he's so consistent, but nobody has found that rhythm for them offensively. So does that make it even more daunting, challenging, scary, to use a post-Halloween term?
Scary. What's happening is that you only have to focus on 3 or 4 guys with the New York Islanders, and that's what you got to do. Because you look at their goal scorer. Yes, Brock Nelson's got 4. You got Cal Palmieri with 4. Bo Horvat with 3. Barzal's not playing. You got 3 guys right here that I got to focus on. And if you can keep him off the boards, then the rest of the guys are not. They've got a guy like Maxim Tsiplikov. Like, it's a good young rookie or whatnot, but he's only got 1 goal. The defense is not getting you any goal. Noah Dobson has 0 goals in 10 games.
Which is to the point we were making with Connor. Like last night, San Jose wins a 3rd in a row. Will Smith finally gets on the board, has 2 of them, right? And that's usually what happens here. But you can still go through all 32 rosters and go, wow, I didn't know that guy doesn't have a goal. Yeah,
this guy doesn't have a goal. This guy doesn't have a goal. Brent Marchand scores last night, but it's in the
bag. What a garbage goal. And what a wild game that was. Is Montgomery still coaching?
Yeah, he is. He's made the pass the 10 a.m. deadline you gave us on the last night. But anyway, when you look at it, though, it's the Islanders. They have, like, Sorokin starting in net tonight. Mm-hmm. He's 2-2-1.
Yep.
You're like, oh, okay. His numbers are unbelievably good at 1.8 goals per goals against average, 1.80, and a 9.32 save percent. I mean, if you told me, I'm going to give you those numbers for your first 5 games this year, I'm like, you're at least 4-1. You're not 2-2-1. Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening right now. And they limit the shot attempts, the shots, which puzzles me even more. Because you talk about how Lou's build the roster. Mm-hmm. And how Patrick Roy is going to coach this team. Like, if you're going to be 20, like, you're
but he's not coaching them not to score.
Yeah, but you're 5th best in the NHL in shots allowed per game.
Yeah.
You allow 26.5 shots per game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost like I should say, okay, guys, like, it's okay if we give up more shots. We have the goalies. Like, let's be really focusing on the offensive side of it. But right now, from what I was talking with Thomas Hickey and Butch Goring, it said, let's play good defensively. It's the focus is on the defensive side early in the season. I'm like, the defensive side is already good.
Right.
Why are you focusing on that? Now, I get it. The penalty kill is awful. Penalty kill is last in the league right now, 62.5%, I think it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last in the league. They're tied with the Oilers as last in the league. So the penalty kill is awful. So that puts a lot of stress on the rest of your game.
Yeah.
But penalty kill, like, okay, Sabres, let's go now. You got a team that's got trouble in the penalty kill.
Their power play is twice as high as Buffalo's, though.
I know, exactly. I'm just saying, but I'm looking at one part of the
right.
equation.
No,
here.
I know.
Like,
it's
power play's got to produce.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, the small sample size. I got to be honest with you. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Not going to lie. Wow.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thomas Hickey.
Yes.
Oh my, like, I see him on TV. Haven't seen him in person in a long time. He looks like a rookie.
Well, yeah, he's still a young person. Holy cow. But he looks like he's 12 years old.
He's so young. Yeah. Like, it just, when you and him and Butch were chatting, I was like, well. Yeah. It was hilarious, and good for him.
Great guy, and he's good at what he does. But again, like, we're talking about how the Anaheim Ducks scored a goal in the power play backdoor, where Patrick wants everybody to be very aggressive, mm-hmm. but not everybody is doing it at the right timing. So Noah Dobson ends up playing goalie in the crease, trying to block a pass to go across to. Oh, is it Troy Terry, maybe? Anyway, there's a backdoor play, but he looked like a bad goalie. Puck went through him and whatnot. They're just not super sharp. Mm-hmm. And when teams that are sharp, you know where it translates? It translates in offense because they move the puck quick. They make decisions quickly. Right now, the Islanders don't have a lot of offense because they're overthinking everything. And then on the penalty kill side of things, where you have to be sharp, they're not, because they're overthinking a lot of the structure as well.
Because you mentioned them real quick, the Ducks, who had the win against the Islanders, they were again given tremendous goaltending from Lucas Dostal, who I believe is the best goaltender so far in the NHL.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to last because I don't think it's sustainable based on some of the shot numbers that they're facing night in, night out. But this all ties in with having a zero in the goal column. Cutter Gauthier, again last night, had so many mm-hmm. glorious chances. Incredible speed bursts, breakaways, tap-ins, you name it. He is actually leading all rookies in shots on goal right now with 26 and has a zero. It's amazing. It's going to come. What happened? Turnover in overtime. Crosby scores the goal. There are
Crosby's
so many
three goals, right,
hard
this year?
Moments. Yeah.
Overtime against us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the tying goal early in the third last night and the overtime goal in the overtime.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. But not surprising, obviously, based on the fact it's Crosby. But just wanted to put that into context because we talk about players with zeros and chances and stuff like that, which brings us back to, and before we get to Shayna Goldman here on our typical Friday, Sabres Live. Dylan Cousins, mm-hmm. as you were talking earlier, and as we talked about yesterday, because Cousins moved onto a wing position with Greenway and McLeod, mm-hmm. I have a good feeling for Dylan Cousins tonight. Do you recall the overtime winner on Ryan Miller night on the bomb of a pass from Dahlin, and it was against Sorokin? Yes, so that's all I needed to be reminded of. I think tonight will be the night for Dylan.
Okay, well, I'm hoping so. And look, it's going to come at some point. I'm going to quote Lindy Ruff. I guarantee you Dylan has a goal before the end of the year, just like he guaranteed the power play goal before the end of the year. But right now, the tricky thing is okay, Dylan is moved to the wing with McLeod and Greenway, trying to give Dylan a chance to a different energy, different look, different line mates. Let's see what happens. At some point, you're going to have to move things back towards they were. So you're hoping that Dylan can get some confidence and play well. But at some point, you probably are thinking Dylan's going to go back to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely with Quinn and maybe even a Benson when LT or whatever. Like, don't know what that's going to look like. But so you have to make sure right now that Dylan understands that this is just to get him going personally, that his positioning, the
Do you think guys understand that in the moment?
Well, I think like Dylan Cousins may look at it and say, oh, my season has been so bad right now, 10 games, and now I'm not even playing center. And it's easy to look at the negative in that situation because it's basically a demotion, right? Like if you say, hey, Cousy, go play the wing with Tuck and Thompson, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
But go play the wing with McLeod and Greenway, it's almost like a demotion. So, but you don't want to use it that way. You don't want to look at it that way.
Yeah, I'm just curious whether you have sensed that feeling. And again, every teammate you've ever had that's gone through it probably handles it completely differently.
Very differently.
I'm not sure I want to believe it the way you just presented, only because McLeod has been so surprisingly good from an offensive standpoint that, you know, maybe it doesn't feel like it might have if you'd said this is what's going to happen prior to the season.
Dylan is still in the power play, but it's power play two, it's not power play one, and it's like, okay, let's, the ice time, I think, players look at it, and this is frustrating. It was frustrating when I played, is guys are in the locker room stretching or on the bike after the game, and, you know, a team official is going to walk by and hand out, like, the game sheet. They look at their game sheet. They're like, what did I play? 14:30. And they're like, oh.
Don't they know? They know what they played.
They kind of know, yeah. But, like, they all look at that. And so, for me, is, okay, is Dylan going to feel like his ice time is not going to be the same that when he was playing center, killing some penalties, playing power play, like the role is diminishing a little bit, but at the same time, maybe it's diminishing because you have to focus on one part of your game right now. Number one, don't turnovers. You know, that's happened a lot inside the blue line and at your blue line, and then create some offense. So somebody's got to help him in that department.
All right, so we know the line combinations, so the projected line combinations for tonight. We know Devin Levi is in goal, and we know Shayna Goldman is next. Her regular time slot from The Athletic, of course, right here on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
End of the homestand for the Sabres tonight. The Islanders are in. Marty already referenced some of the special teams numbers to look at on either side. It's great to start a new month with Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, who's joined us. She is the unofficial special teams coach of Sabres Live and thus has numbers to dive into potentially for Buffalo's power play goal scoring streak. Might it continue, Shayna?
I mean, that would be ideal, right? And tonight's the night to do it, because if you look league-wide, Sabres have one of the worst power plays in terms of offensive creation and goal scoring. But on the flip side of it, you look at the Islanders, who have been an absolute disaster shorthanded. And it's an area where they're trying to improve, right? They're trying to be a more aggressive shorthanded team, which goes back to the Barry Trotz era a bit, but they're not actually trying to replicate their past. They're basing it more on the Carolina Hurricanes special teams, which has been a huge strength for them. But you go into this season and they're struggling to get through penalty kills while they're generating some offense, and we've seen some shorthanded goals for them. They are allowing a lot of shots back and a lot of quality chances back, and they don't have the goaltending to stop it either. So if any team can, you know, if the Sabres want to take advantage of any team, this might be the ideal opponent.
Is Noah Dobson someone defensively the Sabres can take advantage of, because he is a penalty killer and looked bad against the Anaheim Ducks the other night, and offensively it hasn't worked out as good as last season, but is Dobson somebody that they need to try to take advantage on the defensive side of the puck?
Yeah, I think they could probably try to take advantage of everyone, because that's how things are going this year on Long Island. But to me, Dobson is maybe the Islanders' best player outside of Ilya Sorokin on a good day. But the Islanders have not had many good days that it feels like those opportunities are there. And I think it has to be a big confidence blow to be making those mistakes against a team like the Ducks, who we all expect to be a bottom feeder. Like, they've made things interesting in games, and a lot of it is because of their goaltending, and the Ducks are even managing to take advantage of it. So I think the Sabres can. They have the speed, I think, to go up against a team like the Islanders that maybe lacks a little bit of foot speed, especially with Barzal out of the lineup.
Last night was certainly interesting in the NHL. What is your hot take on the Bruins on the heels of a crushing at the expense of Carolina?
Yeah, I think I want to take a deeper dive into this one and really, you know, go through the video to figure out exactly what's going wrong. But the Bruins, to me, do not look like a contender. They are total frauds. They are, you know, all season we're looking at their 5-on-5 numbers and saying, wow, they're among the worst teams in the league. Maybe they'll find their footing because they have a lot of new faces in the lineup at really key positions, like Zadorov, like Lindholm, and it's shifting around everybody to make that click. And it's not working out at all, and it's not getting any better. And I look at it and I have to wonder, could they be the first team to make a coaching change? Because I thought last season, to open the year, the Bruins were winning games but not dominating. They were going to overtime a ton, and I wondered, could coaching, you know, be the problem here? Could that be what management goes for because they couldn't upgrade their center depth in season? And now they are a total train wreck that I keep thinking that has to be the move. And I don't think it's the expected move when you started the season day one. But to me, you know, I've been on that train for a little bit, that I wonder if that is what they do.
Okay, well, I'll ask you a follow-up question on that. Because of Cam Neely being at the top, and then there's Don Sweeney, the general manager, usually a GM would save his job by saying, I'm firing the coach. And that buys the GM a little bit more time and maybe readjust things next summer when it comes to the roster. But with Cam Neely being so present in the organization and having such of a voice, is Don Sweeney potentially on the hotter seat when you look at Montgomery or Sweeney?
Yeah, I think Don Sweeney could have been on the hot seat a couple times now, because you look at the way the Bruins draft and develop their players. It's always been a fundamental flaw of that team, but I feel like he saves himself by making big trades, and the Hampus-Lindholm deal is one that stands out to me for sure. And you see even Zaka has worked out better than expected, and now he took those big swings this offseason. So if you're above Don Sweeney and you're Cam Neely, you could look at it and say, well, you signed two players who aren't working out. Who knew Elias Lindholm wasn't a true 1C and shouldn't be, shouldering this heavy of a burden, yeah, or Zadorov maybe was not worth as much as they signed him for. But I still think that the coach will be the one under fire first, in a way of being like, management brought you these players and you're not maximizing them adequately, and that's why the roster's failing, because it's guys like McAvoy who are struggling and Marchand. And, you know, at that point, you might say it's more than just management.
Are you guys Swayman'd out? Nobody wants to talk about him?
No, let's talk about Jeremy Swayman here. Like, I wonder how much, you know, these contract holdouts affect players, because you're not in the right gear to start the season. You're not a part of all of the late summer training sessions and everything like that, because you're sitting there in limbo. I feel like that can't be good for anyone. I think he's going to rebound, but I think everyone in front of him is making life that much harder, and he's just not doing well under that pressure.
Yeah, I think the team in front of Swayman is not playing well. And there's something to be said for a goalie, because when we do summer skates, right, a lot of it is with a goalie coach, and it's very static, and it's very controlled in a controlled environment. And then if you do a shinny game with your, you know, buddies or whatever, it's all over the place. The pace, the structure is not there in the summer like it should be in training camp and in those preseasons and at the start of the year. So I think Swayman started a little bit behind, in terms of where he should have been coming in so late. And now it's a double whammy. It's the Bruins not playing well and Swayman not where he needs to be. But there's plenty of years down the road for him to recover from that. I'm not worried about it. The Washington Capitals, they win again. Ovi scores. Seems to work now on the right wing, but he scores from the left side anyway. He finds himself there. What do you make out of Spencer Carberry and what he's done with that team?
Yeah, when the Capitals season ended last year, I had the pleasure of writing their postmortem, and I looked at it and I kept thinking, this team is in such a tough position, because you could chase Ovechkin's legacy. You could try to keep retooling on the fly, which I thought they did a really good job doing at the deadline last year and the year prior. Or do you go for it? And you think about what Spencer Carberry did with very little last year, and the way he got the Capitals playing this cohesive game and helped players grow, even though Ovechkin was still doing his thing. It was everyone around him, I thought, improved so much that they gave him some like legitimately good pieces. And now they have that up-and-coming talent, like Alexei Protas, who has been fantastic to start the season. You're seeing Connor McMichael come into form a little bit more too, and it's all just clicking just right. Like, to me, it's an actually sustainable start, which I didn't expect to be saying at this point in the season. They look great at 5-on-5. They're getting help from all throughout the lineup, and it's just working. Even players like Tom Wilson, who really struggled last year, look a lot better, and it shows maybe how we underestimate recovery time sometimes. And Ovechkin is going. And, you know, it's not just about the race. Like, he's, you know, passing the puck too. It's not like a selfish thing or anything like that. Like, it's all working right now. So I think I buy into their hot start.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, and I love him for this, and this is hard to say given how much we know how much Mark Stone loves to score, But there's still nobody in the league that loves to score as much as Ovechkin. Oh. And last night, they're blowing Montreal out in the third. They've got a two-man advantage, and he is hammering right into shot blockers with I don't know how many minutes left. And he was at extended his shift, and then finally he went off the ice. And I'm like, this is amazing. He is so hungry for the goals right now.
No, I've unfortunately seen him celebrate many times when he scored by me. And if it could be a big goal or a late game goal that didn't matter, he'd always celebrate. But you're right. Like, I feel like there's a little juice coming through Ovechkin, which...
And it comes from what Shane is talking about. One of their better pickups in the offseason was Matt Roy, who hasn't been playing due to injury. Right. But Chikrin's been good. The defense, you know, seems like it's...
Dubois's been all right, in that line with McMichael and Wilson, so it's working. But Shayna, so let's go from Ovechkin to... You know, no Connor McDavid with the Oilers, and then they beat the Nashville Predators, and Draisaitl always kills the Nashville Predators, so he gets two more. Finally, Arvidsson scores. I'm worried about the Oilers, but could this little no McDavid time be what they needed, like the coaching change last year about this time of year?
It's a wake-up call, right? Because you can't be complacent. You can't say, okay, we're in a one-goal game, or, oh, we're down by two. It's okay, Connor will do something. And I'm not saying that's the attitude the Oilers have, but I feel like it would be hard to not think that way if you're in Edmonton, especially when you think about the way Connor McDavid played last year when he wasn't 100%. So Draisaitl stepping up is a great thing for them because he is a superstar. He can drive his own line. It's his opportunity to be like, I am the star of this team when I need to be. And it's going to be interesting because you have a guy like Zach Hyman, who finally breaks through last night. He is generating all of the chances in the world, but he can't capitalize on them. Going into Wednesday night's matchups, if I remember correctly, he was second in the league in expected goal total behind only Austin Matthews. He just wasn't converting, which is kind of similar to what happened in 22-23. Maybe it was an extreme regression of that shooting percentage, and now you're seeing it swing right back the other way, but... To generate those scoring chances and not have McDavid behind you and have those passes that make his shots all the more dangerous, you're battling through a lot more. I'm very curious how this is going to go for them because it's going to open up the door to other guys stepping up, right? Not just Draisaitl. And I think that's going to be the key to their season, right? How does Jeff Skinner look in a top six role? Will Arvidsson finally click? And what's a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins going to do? Because his 5-on-5 numbers are concerning, as is his play on the score sheet right now. So if everyone can start finding their footing and then you add McDavid back, that could be what turns the Oilers back into a superstar team and that powerhouse we expect them to be.
If I had still had a farm to bet, I would have bet it all on a multi-point night for Leon Draisaitl last night. It is ridiculous, and every year we get reminded of it. Here's a sample of his work against Nashville. In the last 9 head-to-head games, he has 11 goals, let alone the 23 points. But in Nashville, his last 7 trips into Nashville, he has 21 points. This is Gretzky-esque. This is insane. So whichever famous artist coined the phrase, nobody beats the road, meaning life on the road is hard. Leon didn't get the message in the greatest road city in the NHL. He is clearly staying off Broadway, or maybe he's enjoying Broadway. I don't know. Whatever. Nashville works for him.
Well, so. Nashville works for him, but Nashville's not working for Nashville
now.
This is tough. So Shayna.
Saros didn't look great.
Saros, the new contract too. Brunette and, Barry Trotz, and he's looking for a center to maybe add at some point here. Is this the issue with Nashville more like their roster, or is it in the way that they play?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both because it's tough when you're a team that brings in a lot of talent and it's tough when you're a team that loses a lot of talent because it's that many moving parts. And I think that's been a big issue for the Oilers too this year because they're missing guys from all situation play that they're accustomed to having. And for the Predators, you're bringing in big name guys who, Steven Stamkos has a signature style and you're trying to work that in. It's got to be difficult. But I still question, and I think we might have talked about this before, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the adaptability of Andrew Brunette, because this was his issue in my eyes in Florida as well, because he was handed the keys to a well-oiled ship and didn't know what to do. So this is a push comes to shove moment for him as well. If the roster isn't flawed, right, and it looks pretty good on paper, does he have it in him to now rethink the playing style of last year and make make tweaks within his system to fit the guys he has now? I really don't know. So I hope he can answer that.
Super quick, do you have a thought as to whether there will be any more drama this year between Fiala and the Kings? And do you think Trevor Zegras will be a Duck for a long time?
Okay, Kevin Fiala, more drama. Yes, why not? It's just the vibe I get. There's always drama in this league, it seems. And it's not amped up as much as last year, but I feel like we're totally going to see more there. As for Zegras, it's a really good question. I'm going to say no. His start in Anaheim has not been good this year. And you look at how other players are clicking around him, and Troy Terry still looks great, and Leo Carlson is developing, and McTavish looks really good on that line with Vetrano and Strome. But I look at Zegras and I'm still questioning where he fits at this point, honestly, for him to play his best hockey. And I almost wonder if there's just like a fundamental clashing now between styles, between him, the coaching, management, that it's just not working.
Yeah, fair questions for sure. Shayna, thank you so much. We got to fly. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Where will you be watching Florida and Dallas? The puck drops in just over an hour now. Global Series again, baby.
I may be home for that. I'll put it on the TV.
You might have a tough time keeping your eyes open for this.
I am tired right now. I got to wake myself up, and I don't do coffee, but I'm telling you, I'm going to go get Mountain Dew, and then I'll be fired up tonight. That's the way it goes. I'm looking at the Sabres schedule right now. They have the New York Islanders tonight. They have Detroit tomorrow. I'm looking at couple of wins. Got to get a couple of wins. Get yourself back over 500. And then you have the Ottawa Senators, that's going to be a big matchup here, and the Rangers. So the next four, you start with a couple of wins, and then after that, you get one against the Ottawa Senators or the Rangers. You're putting yourself another 3 out of 4, right? You just did 3 out of 4. Look at the next 3 out of 4. You can get 6 points out of that, and then you move on. Then it's going to be a little lighter. We have the Flames, the Canadiens, the Blues, the Flyers. Like, you really can make some ground here in the Atlantic Division.
Sure. I mean,
you can make
here's
rounds
the thing.
Every night,
yeah, yes. I mean, the Flyers looked really bad a week ago, and now they've able to get a couple of wins. St. Louis was victimized by them last night. Ersson looks really good, so as long as they stay composed defensively, I mean, look at San Jose. Like, they had that miraculous come-from-behind win against Utah. Now they've rattled off 3 in a row. Carolina's won 5 in a row. Calgary's lost 4 in a row. The only early season trend is up becomes down real quick.
Well, that's what I'm not going to do tonight. I'm not going to be upside down tonight.
Hockey Fights Cancer Night. We'll see you this evening.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.